Everybody, when you tell them you're from Nepal, the first thought in the head is, have you climbed Everest? I mean, it's Everest. It's not your bare mountain where a Bollywood diva can go dancing. It's 29,000 feet, okay? It's a serious business to climb on Everest. It is life-threatening. Not everybody from Nepal climbs Everest. It is a very dangerous thing to do. Because when I was on the summit of Everest, I thought I was gonna die.
Hi everyone, namaste. My name is Shaili Vasnet. I'm originally from Nepal. My background has been in mountaineering. I've also been a journalist for a few years. My team of women from Nepal, we were in a mountaineering mission from the year 2007 till early 2015. And I've also been doing stand-up comedy on the side, so it's like my side hustle.
Shaili, welcome to our podcast today. We are so glad to have you.
It's my pleasure. It's been, you guys are amazing. I love watching your podcast and all and meeting you in New York whenever I'm there.
And so do we. We love attending your stand-up comedies.
Thank you.
What has been keeping you busy lately?
So I think the pandemic in the world decided to make us all free. So I'm not busy as much as I would have normally been. I'm quite free, but I don't know where the days go. So I'm in Kathmandu, Nepal right now, and I have more time for my workouts in the morning. That's what I do. And I'm growing sprouts. I'm growing microgreens. And I'm doing a lot of these, Zoom and online sessions. My speaking, a little bit of comedy, stuff like that. So I guess just same for everybody.
So you started a career as a journalist, then you became a mountaineer, and then now you are a stand-up comedian and a motivator. What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? That's a good question. What's wrong with you?
I make very good friends with my husband, because I love to tell people that, you know, when people find out that I'm into all these different things, then they're like, oh, you're, you know, multi-talented. And my husband is like, no, she has multiple personality disorder. So you'll make very good friends with my husband.
Yeah, I've made a husband once, I remember.
Yeah. I guess for me, as a kid, when I was growing up, I never had a professional goal. So I was never like, I want to be a singer or a doctor or a teacher. I had no professional goal ever, even once in my life. And I believe that has given me the freedom to do whatever I want to do. And whatever I do, if I'm somewhat good enough in it, I know money will come. So I won't have to forcefully do something just, you know, to put the food on the table. So I'm confident enough that whatever I choose to do, money will come. I won't be like, you know, homeless or anything. So it has just given me this freedom to just do whatever I want to do. And I am literally just doing that. I'm just a little kid having fun with the world.
Shaili, I remember when you were debuting at Gotham's Comedy Club for the first time 2 years back. And you know, we got in touch, and then I made a video report about you. And I remember when I was pitching your video story for New York Daily News, I told them like, she was a journalist, and then she was a Mount Everest climber, and now she's a stand-up comedian. And they were like really shocked. They were really keen to buy that story, which was good for me as a journalist, you know. So how do you, you know, make sure that especially American audience understand your jokes?
That's a very important question. Thank you for asking me that. As somebody who was born and raised in Nepal, Kathmandu, I went to school here. I've never studied in the United States. So I'm, for the Western world, I'm always just a visitor in a sense. You know, I'm a foreigner to all the culture and everything, politics, you know. So in the beginning, when I had this very, you know, slight hint, this germination of idea, I might want to do comedy someday, and I don't want to be restricted by borders. At that time, I did used to think that, but I don't, even today, I don't understand a lot of comics because I don't get the cultural references. And what am I going to do? Am I going to spend years and years trying to learn the American culture and, you know, all of the references and then do it? So I used to think about these things, and I used to watch on YouTube, I used to watch some of the open mics, you know, some of the like mid-level successful comedians, because I thought that that's where I would also be when I start. And I couldn't get like more than 90% of it, I wouldn't understand, because, you know, you go to Colorado and there's a certain flavor of comedy there. You go to New York and I could see there's a vast difference between the comedy you do in New York and Colorado. So I was really like, okay, how am I going to navigate this? And then I'm very, very thankful for this, like, you know, lightning bolt in my head. I always watched Ellen DeGeneres and Jerry Seinfeld and these, like, your A-listers, right? And then I just realized one day that, you know, when I watch these people, I understand 100%, mm-hmm. right? So I was like, oh, so if you're top level, then you're able to reach everybody on the planet. If you stay maybe somewhat cultural, then you probably need to understand that culture better, right? So what I learned from that thinking of Ellen and Jerry was that, okay, then let me find something that works globally. And that's the area I've been navigating in my comedy when I try to go to the US, in a completely foreign place. And luckily that has worked for me. Because of the open mics, I could learn fairly quickly what worked in the US and what didn't.
Those audience who doesn't know what open mic is, can you just elaborate what open mic is?
So basically open mic is maybe there's a small club or maybe there's a small restaurant bar where there's somebody producing these open mic shows where you can just participate and try your new material. You could be a singer, you could be a comic, you could be into other forms of art. But for comics, what we do is, let's say I have 5 minutes of new material. I go to an open mic and then I try out my material, and there are maybe, it's usually free shows or people have to pay very little. And then I judge, like, what is the response I'm getting from the audience. And based on that, I know which joke is working, what is not working, what needs more work. Sometimes I might also get feedback from other comics. So that's how you work. And then you get in the comedy world, you know, people say tight five. And let's say I keep trying my, you know, set of 5 minutes for 20 different open mics or even more, and then another 5 minutes. So by the end, let's say in 2-3 months, I have a tight five where I know each joke is just going to kill and land. So that's how you develop your material, especially in the West. And now even here in Kathmandu, we have a lot of open mics.
As a career, being a stand-up comedian, what does it mean to you in terms of financial safety?
For me, stand-up comedy seriously started as a stress buster. I was in the middle of a very big climbing mission, Seven Summits Women Team, which is a team of my, you know, friends who decided to climb the highest peak in each continent. And I was the coordinator of the team. So I was leading the team, and the year 2011 is when we hit a really, really rough patch. There was... it was a scary time, to put it mildly. I hit my rock bottom at that time. And it was, in fact, I keep telling people that this is my second lockdown in life. You know, my first lockdown was in the year 2011 when I couldn't get out of the home because I could not face people. It was that bad. We didn't have funds to climb the next mountain. Members started quitting the journey, and we didn't know, the rest of the members were still in the team, we didn't know how to go ahead. So for 6 months or even longer, I could not face people, I could not socialize, I could not leave my house because I didn't know what to answer. So I just was in a cocoon, you know, just by myself in this apartment in Kathmandu. And what do you do when you're locked up like that? Like, you wake up in the morning or sometime during the day, you eat, you sleep. And I just did that. And in between those, you know, moments, I started having funny thoughts in my head and I started writing them down. That's how I got my first comedy script. So the long answer to your question is, I did not start comedy thinking I was going to make money someday. It was just me getting out of a situation, and it was cathartic for me, therapeutic for me. So it worked. And my first show was received very, very well. So I got the confidence that, okay, this is something that, you know, I can enjoy. So I continued, and 2011 was the year when I started my first show. And I think I started seeing real money in the year 2017, I think.
Whoa. That's a long time.
All the intervening years, it was just having fun, going for a stress buster, just a little side hustle. And then I guess after one point, 2017, without even asking for it, people started sponsoring People started like asking me for my, you know, rates as a comic, and then I started making money. Yeah.
Now, another question I wanted to ask you, Shaili, is, which you kind of partially have already answered when you mentioned you wanted to be a stand-up comedian who, you know, who works and who talks globally beyond geographical restriction. But because you keep traveling to different places, you're in the US now, you're in Kathmandu tomorrow, and you were somewhere else the other day, where are you based at?
Okay, I have to be very careful about how I answer this question. So Nepal is my home. Nepal is where I was born and, you know, raised and everything, like I've been saying so many times. So Nepal is definitely always going to be home. My husband is from the United States. We're both in Kathmandu currently, but he's from Colorado. So my home is also Colorado. So I'm in both places. But even as a kid, I used to think that, you know, my roots are always going to be in Nepal. I'm like a tree, and my roots will always be in Nepal, but my branches will cover the whole wide world. So let's just say that.
What difference have you experienced as a stand-up comedian in Western world and Eastern world?
So even in the Western world and Eastern world, it's funny that, let's say within India, and I've been in India once, like I was there for a whole week, and I was performing at one of their like well-known comedy clubs, Canvas Laugh Club. And so I was in Delhi, and there is this place Gurgaon, and there is this place Noida, and there are probably, I don't know, I forget now, maybe 1 or 2 hours driving distance apart. And I'd been performing at Gurgaon, and I think Gurgaon. I'd been performing at one, you know, location, and then I was invited to perform at the other location. And when I went there, the manager there was telling me, comedy here is very different from comedy in Gurgaon. I was like, okay. So even within the same city, I've learned that there is a difference kind of perception or reception of comedy. But because I'm going to be traveling, because I want to communicate with the whole wide world, what I've learned from these big names is that if I'm able to deep dive, then I can reach everybody. So that's been my game. The cultural references, the seeming differences that you see is the surface. If you stay here, then, you know, you need to hit on these areas. But human emotions, politics, corruption, whatever you call it, you know, our daily struggles, at the end of the day, it's pretty much the same. So if you were able to scratch that surface and go deeper down and find this area of like human pure vulnerability, you can really communicate with everybody. So there is a set of my jokes that has worked everywhere, like Nepal, India, United States, it has worked everywhere. And there are some jokes, like for example, I make this joke that like my, you know about Melamchi water, right?
Yeah.
Nepal, we've been promised we'll get Melamchi drinking water since I think last 25 or 30 years, but it's just never here. So in one, like my piece on being a woman, I mentioned that, you know, women's period is the most like unpredictable thing. Sometimes it's just there and you weren't prepared for it, like the electricity in Kathmandu. And sometimes it's already time, but it just doesn't arrive, just like Milamji. Like, where is it? Where is it? Why aren't we here yet? You know, so I know this joke works everywhere, but when I go to India, I use a completely different political reference.
Right.
When I go to the US, I use a different political reference, but the same joke essentially works everywhere.
Yeah, that's interesting. What would you call has been your biggest school that has prepared you in what you do in the comedy sector?
In the comedy, what has been my biggest school has been doing comedy and producing shows in here in Kathmandu. Because like I mentioned earlier, when I started, because there was not much of a stand-up scene at all, I was into producing, I was into writing scripts, and we were literally, there are a few friends who would write scripts for other people so that they would get up on stage and, you know, perform so that we could have a full-fledged show. So I always used to complain that, you know, there's no comedy scene in Kathmandu, and you know, I just want to be an artist, but I have to do all of these things, and you know, not fair, not cool. Why can't I just be a comic? I always complain from the year 2011 till 2017. I always complain that there's no comedy scene here, and I have to do everything. When I went to New York and I met Andy, one of the producers at Gotham Comedy Club, and I started negotiating with him for a show. And somehow I got my own show, like with my, you know, face on the poster and a whole like show with Shaili Bosnet. I was blown away. You know, after it happened, then I'm like, what just happened? Like, how did it happen? And then I realized that all the work that I'd done in Nepal, while I was complaining that I have to do everything, prepared me for this in New York. Because when I talked to my producer, it was not just about how good a comic I am. I was very confident that, you know, I am good. You can leave me on stage and there'll be people who will come to watch me. And I can do everything that's needed to make this show a success. So my biggest schooling happened between the year 2011 to 2017 in Nepal, producing entire show. And I know that that's one of the biggest advice Andy himself gives to other comics. If you want to be successful, maybe try some hand in producing shows as well.
I've watched your shows a couple of times, and I've noticed that your comedy is a clean comedy, you know. And especially these times when you watch YouTube, when you watch Netflix, like I see comics, you know, dropping F-bomb, cursing all the time, but you don't do that. Is there a particular reason why you don't do that? Or
as a person in real life, I don't use cuss words. So on stage, and I'm learning this now, I'm learning these after all these years, that, you know, the best comics will tell you that you are naked when you are on stage, meaning that your truest self, you know, is what comes out when you're on stage. So in the beginning, I would, if you know, as a human, you have so many thoughts, and I would have some funny thoughts and I would tell anything and everything. But eventually I started focusing on what I really want to say. So my comedy is more about things that I want to communicate for real. And so the more comedy you do, you kind of get to that core. And I, as a real person, I don't use F words or, you know, curse words in my real life. So that's one. Another is also a deliberate choice, because I think a lot of the times it's easy to do that. So I, in one of my early years, I decided, how far can I go without going that route? So I did take it up as a challenge. How far can I go? So, and it worked. Also, there is also this temptation. I really am dying for a day when I am able to do comedy for kids. I really, really, really want to do comedy for children. I'm not that good yet, but eventually I would want to do that. So this is also kind of a training for me to do this. I was very surprised to learn that Jerry Seinfeld, Forbes, like highest, you know, comedy earner in the world for I don't know how many years in a row, he has used F word once on stage in his entire career. He's a clean comic. So, you know, it's doable.
Now we have come to the end of the podcast. Is there anything you want to, you know, say to a new upcoming stand-up comedian, especially immigrant comedians who want to come to America, you know, have a Gotham show like you did 2 years ago? And what's the message to them?
So I have been very fortunate to get many opportunities in life. To be very honest, I've been able to get opportunities and also create opportunities. So creating opportunities is scary. It's really, really scary. But once you do that, then it really trains you to be more broad-visioned. You know, so don't wait for opportunities to come up to you. Sometimes take that risk of creating opportunities, you know. And I look at producing shows that way. Sometimes you just have to take the risk. And Gotham show was completely that for me. You know, I was a co-producer for that show, and I didn't know how many people would come to watch me, if it will be a hit or a flop, you know.
It was a full house, by the way.
Yeah, it was great. My producer was so happy. He gave me another show, and then he wanted me to do a show. We talked about doing a show last November. That didn't happen because I wasn't traveling. And then we already had one show this March. We're supposed to do it last March. So the doors just opened for me for as many shows I want to do, right? So that risk, you have to take that risk. Maybe this is not the best advice for everybody. Maybe there are people who just want to hone their craft. And if you're so good at it, doors will open for you. I am not that example. What has worked for me is that I had to work on my craft, but at the same time, I pushed for these opportunities. I sat down with people and I told them that, you know, give me a show. give me a show. And I moved mountains to make it happen. But even to do that, if you're not good at your craft, especially a place like New York, oh my God, the showrunners, organizers, they literally have 2 second minute, as they call it. They're not gonna hear you at all. So you have to, it's a given, you have to be good at your craft. There's no other way about it. But apart from that, if you want to really, go next level, then take more risk. Having said that, I don't have a big presence in the online community at all. I've never posted a single comedy video on YouTube yet. I don't know what's holding me back. I love being on stage. Online, I'm like, I don't know. So I'm just waiting for the right time. But I know that's also where young comics can really get a good introduction to the world, especially if they're good in their craft. So find out what works for you. Stage has worked for me. Maybe different platforms will work for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Shaili. It's been wonderful talking to you and talking about all your learning about your journey. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. And it's really, really thank you to amazing people like you who, you know, make it possible for me to be a global citizen, so to speak, like we were speaking earlier. I'm a global citizen, just like coronavirus. I'm the healthy one, especially for young aspiring comics. Keep at it. My best time for comedy, my best material came when I hit my rock bottom and when I went through the lowest phase of my entire life. So you never know where the gems of comedy will, like, you know, come up and make you shine. So just keep at it.
Thank you so much, Shaili. So with that, it's time to wrap up.
And please make sure you subscribe and share this episode and log on to podcast at theendofthedaycom to watch and listen to previous episodes.
Take care and stay safe, guys. Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm Ian Hull from the U.S. Census Bureau. Beginning on March 12th, everyone in the country will be invited to respond to the 2020 census. You'll have the ability to respond to the census over the phone, online, or using a paper form. It is incredibly important that everyone is counted. Make sure you, your family members, and your neighbors are counted in this critical census. We only get one chance every 10 years to conduct the census. This is your chance to be counted.